Are you unknowingly sabotaging your own team's trust? What if small actions are breaking down your credibility? Well, if you stick with me today, I'm going to show you how to rebuild the trust and lead with impact. You mind if I share a short story with you? You know, family, one of the things is when you get in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. The foundation of your success is teams. You see, even the agile values identified that first. They said individuals and interactions over process and tools. Why am I saying that? Why am I telling you that? It's because a lot of times, family, when as a project manager, especially as a new project manager, you can get into this role and you will think that it's about control. You can get into this role and you can think that it's all about, hey, don't do as I do, but do as I say. And when I was coming in this role, that's what I was seeing being mirrored. I was seeing being mirrored that they were doing as what that project manager said, but not did. He didn't live, or she didn't live up to, or that person didn't live up to what they said that they were going to do. And I started down those bad habits, and I want to ensure today that we can clean that up so you can understand and always learn from my mistakes so you could be a better project manager. Let's just jump into point number one. Model vulnerability as a strength. Again, model vulnerability as a strength. You know, one of the things, family, is when you show vulnerability, it really does demonstrate courage as well as openness. Now, I'm not talking about reckless vulnerability. What do you mean by that, Ed? Great question. When I mean model vulnerability as a strength, I am talking about fostering a culture where everyone feels secure to express their ideals. When I talk about reckless vulnerability, that is something where the energy, and we all know, meaning that all you're doing is complaining and fussing and complaining and fussing, and you're not looking for a resolution, or you're not showing the team what you're willing to do to help them win. Here's my actionable tip. Share a personal story about a past challenge or a learning moment. Number two of that action item is this reminds the team that everyone, including you, and because you are a leader, even leaders learn and grow from their areas of opportunity. Ooh, I like that, because a lot of times we call them mistakes, and they are. But they're really areas of opportunity when we dissect it in a way that we understand that we have an opportunity to course correct something that either we had bad intel, meaning information, and now we got a chance to do better. Point number two, avoid blaming absent team members. I definitely gonna share a story. So real quick, I learned this very fast in my career, because there was a situation where we were in a meeting. And the project resource that was supposed to be there, they had a doctor's appointment. There was something where it was a conflict at the time we were going to meet, but they said, hey, I'll just circle back with you, project manager, talking about me. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Well, just so happened that day that the VP of the PMO decided to pop in on a call. No big deal. And when that VP was looking around the room and they didn't see the whole team, they started asking questions openly. And what that did is that it really impacted the team. And I was so shocked, because I was like, why are you, you know, this is something we can take offline. And eventually I had to tell the VP, hey, it's, you know what? Let us go ahead and get this meeting started. Cause I mean, when I tell you, he went in and was just like, why is this person not here? This is a very important meeting, et cetera, et cetera. And not even taking the time to even have a conversation with me, who was leading the project. So after I told him, hey, you know what? Let's take this offline so we can get the team members that did show up and that did participate. And I'll give you the context of why this team member wasn't here. And they did fully let me know that they weren't going to be here. So with that being the case, I will tell you what actually happened. Okay, long story short, what ended up happening, there were some other team members that went and discussed what actually went down. I can't go into too much depth about that, but maybe one day I will. And what ended up happening is it got back to this team member, and this team member, you know, took the proper escalation path, probably the same thing I may have done, I would have done. And it got back to the VP that they weren't happy, and they had to have that whole HR conversation. You kind of know where I'm going. But it's important, family. I know I gave you a long-winded on this point too, but it's important that you don't foster a blame culture. You foster a culture that is solution-orientated, a solution-focused environment. Here's my actionable tip. If a problem arises involving someone who isn't present, save that conversation. Remember, I was sharing with you. I was telling the VP, hey, let's put this in the parking lot. Let's talk about it offline. But again, until you can speak with them directly, ensuring a fair discussion and maintaining a respectful team environment. Because you have to think, when you avoid, when you actually do this, avoid blaming absent team members, what you will do is you protect your team as well. You protect your team because if they're hearing this now, they could be thinking, well, man, I wonder if I ever miss a meeting or action item or anything like that. If I accidentally miss it or make a mistake, will I be talked about in the same manner? And so this is a point, family, whatever you can do. I know sometimes people can, you know, because we're all human, but don't do it on a level where all the team is there. Give that individual or individuals an opportunity to explain themselves for what happened. Okay, let's move on. Point number three, foster open dialogue on conflicts. Conflicts will happen on any project. I don't care if you never had a conflict on a project, then I don't really believe it's a project. And when I say it doesn't have to be some word, an argument that created a sense of where people were feeling attacked. I'm just talking about disagreement. Like, I want to go right and you want to go left. That's conflict, because I want to go my way, you want to go your way. So here's the thing. Foster open dialogue on conflicts. Addressing conflicts openly but respectfully allows the team to resolve issues collaboratively and foster a culture where trust and respect are prioritized. Here's my two actionable tips on this. When conflicts arise, set a neutral space to discuss them. What I like to do is normally when conflicts happen, I like to get those two if we're on site. I like to get them in a room. First, I talk with one end of the individual, then I'll go and talk with the next individual so I can understand both sides of the story. And then I'll bring them together to understand, how can we resolve this? What do you need for it to work from you? What do you need for this to work? So that's my approach of how I look at when conflicts happen, because they will happen. And sometimes you have to address it right there on the call. Sometimes you don't have the opportunity to pull people because it's gotten to the point. So, but it's up to you to try to get to the root of what the problem is, as we talk about here, not the surface layer. So another actionable tip, encourage team members to voice their perspective and work together to find a solution or resolution. Point number four, be clear and consistent with expectation. Listen, family, clear expectation helps teams perform confidently. With inconsistency creates confusion and frustration. Listen, consistency is leadership, fosters stability and trust, meaning that the more consistent you are, the more people can trust in you, the more that people believe that you are stable, the more that they want to work with you, the more you kind of get where I'm going. Here's my actionable tip. Communicate expectations. Let me park here too. Understand, family, and we talk about this over and I continue to say it, because eventually when you get your first PM job, if you're not a PM currently, but even if you are a PM, we understand that the lack of expectations or the lack of communication of what the expectations are comes from frustration, being frustrated. People get frustrated when they don't understand the expectation. People get frustrated when the expectations shift and you didn't communicate that out. So communicate expectations as the project start and continuously throughout the entire project, and provide reminders when necessary. And then last one, if exceptions change, explain the reason why so you can immediately avoid any type of confusion. Point number five, this is my favorite message. Anytime I say messages, you're new to the episode, that means this is something you want to pay attention to. You want to ensure that you understand the words that are coming out my mouth. Point number five, avoid lip service. Follow through on your commitments. Again, avoid lip service. That's just basically saying, If you're going to say something, do it. Trust depends on consistent reliability. When promises are not kept, I promise you, and this is a promise, trust will erode quickly. Sticking to your commitments demonstrates integrity. Sticking to your commitments shows that you are, it shows that you are committed versus interested. You guys heard me talk about that. There's two different ideologies here. When someone says, I'm committed, that means there is no plan B, C, D, E, F, G. This is where we're at. I'm committed. We need to pivot. Once we'll pivot and figure it out as we're going, that develops our plan B. Otherwise, interest looks at, oh, that sounds interesting. You know, that's interesting. I'm interested in getting a cap bill. Oh, okay. So what does interest, what does you being interested, does that look like? Does that mean you going to do the work or, oh, no, I'll just, you know, maybe I'll take a class or maybe I'll do that. So you could kind of see the sense of, I should say urgency, the sense of urgency and commitment. There's a sense of urgency, and being interested is not a sense of urgency. You'll get to it when you get to it. So sticking to your commitments definitely demonstrates integrity. Here's my actionable tip. Keep a checklist of your promises and deadlines. I know that's overkill or overreach, but it is going to help you if you are, especially if you're leading multiple projects, but keep a checklist of your deadlines and commitments. Also, if you anticipate any delays, communicate them early with a new timeline. So you can, again, talk about that word expectation, so you can manage those expectations. Point number six, embrace empathetic communication. Empathy really builds trust by helping team members feel valued and understood, not just seen as a resource or somebody you have to work with, but listening to their concerns encourages a safe environment. I always say as a project manager, it's really important for you to build these connections with your team members. Ask them about their family. Ask them about their weekends or their weekday or whatever, but get closer to them so you can understand kind of what's going on in their world. Because a lot of times what could happen is something at home could be really giving them a challenge at work. And so you want to be able to make sure that you're constantly giving them the proper support. Here's my actionable tip. Set aside time to actively listen to team members' concern. Ask an open-ended questions to understand their perspective before responding. Make sure you are practicing active listening, family, instead of already formulating a response in your head and you didn't even let them get it out. Point number seven, acknowledge mistakes openly. Oh, I love this one. When you admit your mistakes, it shows vulnerability and transparency, which helps your team see you as genuine. Leaders who own their errors build credibility and model accountability. I know forever, when I first got into this game of project management, I would watch how people didn't really want to be transparent about the mistakes that they made because of the fear. So that let me know that the environment was not a healthy environment to be able to make a mistake and show vulnerability by being transparent about the mistake that I made. So you have to ensure you are in a good environment in order to be able to acknowledge your mistakes openly. Here's my actionable tip. Next time you make a mistake, address it with the team openly. Explain what went wrong. And look at this, family. What is your solution? What are the steps you're going to take to prevent it in the future? That's all I need to know. You made a mistake. Okay, what are you going to do to course correct it? And then what are you going to do so you won't make that same mistake in the future? Point number eight, admit what you don't know and be willing to go find the answer. If you stuck around this long, you're about to get a story that is always, I'll make it a condensed version and one day I'll tell the long version. So one day I'm in a meeting with an executive, and it's all the project managers on the phone at that time, and we're going through the PMO is calling on us to go through our project. So there was a project manager before me, and the executive, he gave a really good update. I even thought the update was good. But what I didn't know that the executive had more information than everybody on that call, except for the project manager. Well, actually even more than a project manager, but he wanted to see if the project manager was going to be transparent with them. This is why I always say, family, be transparent, because you don't know if there was some information that may have come in at the last minute that you're not aware of. And if you start doing what I'm about to share with this person did, it could turn, it won't go in your favor. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, we're on a call. Executive asked the project manager, so why is your project in green? You don't have any risk or any issues? It seems like it's going pretty well. Have you ran into anything that you think you may need executive help or anything like that? Nope, everything is going good. He said, oh, okay, great. What about your budget? Oh, budget, we're on budget and everything like that. So he goes through the triple constraints, of course, schedule cost, scope it, as well as quality. And then next thing I know, the next question that he comes, he says, well, it wasn't even a question, it was a statement. Hey, I know you're not telling me the truth. So because you're not telling me the truth, but I'm like, what? Like you could, if you would have seen everybody in that room, we were just all shocked. Like, oh my goodness. Like, how does he know that this project manager is not telling the truth? And then the executive went to go and explain why he knew he wasn't telling the truth. So I say all that to say, family, when you don't know something regarding your project, here's my actionable tip. When you're faced with a question you can't answer, respond with, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately. However, please allow me an hour, whatever that window looks like to you. So if they're asking you something about the schedule and you know you're probably going to go speak with Ruth over there and in accounting, and you don't know if Ruth, you probably want to say within the next 24 hours, or at least that give you a day, but you want to deliver as fast as possible. As soon as you get that answer, you should be sending that email to the executive in this particular case or whoever that person is. But you want to answer that question is, I don't have enough information to answer that accurately, but please allow me, because what I'm doing here is I am being honest. I just don't have enough information to answer that accurately. However, let me go find the answer. I'm time boxing myself, meaning saying this is the time, rather within the next hour, the next 24 hours, the next 2 days, whatever that is, this is when you can expect an answer. And I know I have some smarter, intelligent folks out there. They're going to say, well, Ed, what have you said the next hour? And you're not able to get an answer in the next hour. Well, when you send that email to the executive, because you need to, if this is with the executive or PMO, whoever it was that you made this commitment to, because you remember we talked about commitment at the earlier of this episode, you need to let them know, say, hey, I know I promised you an hour. However, let me show you what I'm doing. And this is when the next update will be. Easy as fine. All right, bonus. Share progress transparently. Listen, transparency and project progress builds trust by keeping everyone in the loop, showing the project status, even when things are off track, encourage teamwork and problem solving. Family, as I shared with you just a moment ago, you want to be as transparent. I don't care if your project is in red and you're nervous to go through that tough conversation or those tough conversations. It's in your best interest to stick if your project is definitely in red, that you want to be able to go into a problem solving mode, look for solutions, don't focus on the problem. Because if you don't do that and it finds out something different, then you're going to have a whole nother set of problems. So my recommendation is always share progress transparently. Here's my actionable tip. Send regular updates on the project progression, include any setbacks, and you want to include your solution so they know, they being a PMO, executive, your manager, other people's manager, that they're not having to do the thinking for you, that you're working with your team to problem solve effectively to come up with a solution. And also this shows that you value keeping the team informed in all stages. Here's my three transformational remarks, and I'll let you be on your way. Number one, avoid blaming absent team members. Like I shared with you before, if problems arise involving someone who isn't present, save that conversation until you can speak with them directly, ensuring a fair discussion and maintaining a respectful team environment. Number two, avoid lip service. Follow through on your commitment. As we talked about, if you're not able to do it, don't make the commitment. If a problem arises involving someone who isn't present, I should say, regarding that you made a commitment to say, hey, yep, I'm going to be there. And now all of a sudden you're not doing as you said you're going to do. You need to, you need to fix that and hold yourself accountable. And the last and final one, model vulnerability as a strength. Share a personal story about past challenges or learning moments and how you overcame them so the team could get to know you better. As well as when you do things like this, this reminds the team that everyone, even leaders like to learn and grow. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name ED. For you smart and intelligent folks out there listening, that just simply means it. And reason why today's episode was so important is because of the fact of many times in your career, you're going to be challenged with making a commitment or making an interest. And you're always going to want to lead to the side of commitment. If you're unable to fulfill that commitment, have the integrity, be honest and open and transparent and say, hey, I won't be able to make that commitment, but this is the revised commitment date. Anyway, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode again. And I love it that you give me this chance every time that I get an opportunity to talk about the thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with called project management. Until next time.